This is always the reading for the Ash Wednesday service. And it outlines, gives us direction on the three great acts of religion. Hinduism, Buddhism, Islam, Judaism, Christianity. The followers in those religions are marked with those three things. They pray, they fast, and they give alms. Three great acts of religion. And that's the traditional reflection that folks like me give on this day of Ash Wednesday. But the one thing that struck me as I read the scripture and looked at it and listened to it was the use of the word reward. You know, the hypocrites who blow the horns and give the alms on the corner and pray for other people to see them and fast and look gloomy. The scripture writer says, well, they've received their reward. And then we're also told, well, if you're going to pray, go to your room in secret. If you give alms, don't let your right hand know what your left hand is doing. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. What's the reward? What do you get? What's the payoff, Lord? Come on, I'm doing this stuff. Pay up, buddy. I've been praying for a new car. Come on. Come to Daddy. I've been doing this stuff. What's the reward? What's the payoff? I'd never really thought of that before. We're told that these other guys, they get their reward. Oh, I understand. They're bad guys. They do bad stuff. But me, I'm one of the good guys. I'm on this side of the church, right? What's the reward? What's the payoff? Well, let's go back to the beginning for a minute when this whole ball got rolling in the first few chapters of Genesis. We have Adam and Eve being created and being in the garden. And then this whole thing of Eve's like unfortunate choice of fruit, right? It's like a hungry woman makes a bad choice of fruit and somehow gets her husband involved in it. And then they're like cast out of creation. Those of us who grew up back in the day, we were taught about original sin, right? All of you that remember Sister Mary Jo talking about original sin, her father or whatever. And we had this whole hoo-ha about original sin. But you wanted to get your babies baptized because they had original sin and you didn't want them to go to limbo if they died because they didn't really get to see God because somehow there was this mark of Adam on their soul, and it really spun this stuff out and had people really terrified, right? How many of you that when you had your kids, there wasn't some part of you in the back of your head saying, I got to get this baby baptized? And maybe one of your relatives or your husband or someone or your wife said, yeah, we can do it next month. And you're thinking, no, we can't. When this baby dies, bad shit's going to happen. You know, it's like, okay. We secretly knew that there was something weird about that. But we weren't really too sure because we're just sort of the laity here, and, you know, Father knows best, and if they're telling us this, but secretly you knew that there was something off about that. That aside, let's look back at that reading in Genesis, because I think there's something really important. So, they say you can eat of anything in this garden. This whole garden is for you. Except there's this one tree in the middle, and it doesn't say it's an apple tree. It just says, of that tree you can't eat of the fruit. Okay. How many of you growing up, or how many of you had children, all you had to do is tell them, no, you can't do that, and you're thinking about a way to do it. I'm the culprit. All you had to do was tell me you can't do that, and I was looking for an opportunity to do it. And usually I did it, and usually I got busted, one way or the other. So there's this whole thing of this serpent, this tempter shows up. And the temptations that we are faced are usually partial truths that we manage to fool ourselves. We manage to make some kind of an excuse. Because the serpent comes along and says to Eve, what's the deal with, you know, not eating of the tree? And she says, oh, we're told if we eat of the tree, we're going to die. And the serpent says, nah, you ain't going to die. Come on, you think God would do that to you? You're not going to die. You'll just become wise and insightful and wonderful. Oh, okay. How many of us have really messed up in our lives? And when it comes right down to it, our defense is, well, it seemed like a good idea at the time. I don't know. It seemed like a good idea at the time. Well, okay. So they mess up. And then there's this whole thing of God walking, and I'm eventually getting to my point, okay? God walking in the cool of the evening. So God comes into the garden. Adam and Eve are like, oh, their eyes are open and they realize they're naked and they create fig leaves. And then what do? They hide on God. Well, how well does that go for them, right? Well, where are you? Oops, we're over here. And God's walking and he says, what's the deal? Why are you hiding? Oh, we're hiding because we're naked. Well, who told you were you were naked? Oh, that goes bad. And then what does Adam do? This woman you gave me, it was her fault. You want to know how it's your fault? Just ask me, I'll tell you. Right? It's your fault. And Eve, she steps up to the plate and says, ah, the serpent. It's the serpent's fault. But you see, what happens is that in this moment, there's this breakdown in two things. Number one, communication. What do Adam and Eve do? They hide. God is walking in the garden in the cool of the evening, probably did it regularly. And they're walking with him and they're together and they have this communication. And then they hide on God because they're embarrassed, because they messed up. What happens? Communication breaks down. I hope you're still thinking about the little nugget. What's the reward? They're going to be circling back to that. But here at the beginning, it's the breakdown of communication. I don't know about you, but in my relationships, in my life, that is the hardest thing to do, to have honest and direct communication. Loving communication, and it's also the source of the major breakdown. When that doesn't happen, all stuff starts to break down. Whether it's at work with coworkers, whether it's with a boss, whether it's with a spouse or a child, or a parent or a grandparent. Because isn't it, at least for me, isn't it sometimes, rather than rock the boat, it's easier just not to bring it up. We agree to disagree, and we're just not going to talk about that. Well, that's kind of what Adam and Eve did. That kind of broke down their relationship. So this story about the original sin, I think if it's anything, it's a breakdown in communication that negatively impacts relationship. You know, when, again, we've talked about this at any number of times, that if you were to go to Jesus and say, okay, Jesus, you've said all these wonderful, wonderful things. Give me the one liner, the elevator speech, the one point that sums up everything that you've said. He's not going to say believe in God. He's not going to say go to church. He says love the Lord God with all your heart and all your mind. Love your neighbor as yourself. That's the summary. the statement of Jesus' call to us. And ultimately, what is the call to do? It's to reestablish relationships. The importance of relationships. So let's go back to the gospel tonight. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, we're told there's a reward. Well, let's look at the first batch of people that are doing the praying in public for other people to see, that are donating large sums of money to get their names on stained glass windows, to do all this kind of stuff. What are they trying to do? Well, it's all ego-based. It's all out of ego. What does ego stand for? Edging God out. Doesn't have anything to do with God. It's all about me. I'm going to edge God out of this process. That I'm not praying for to establish my relationship with God. I'm praying so that other people will say, that Randy, he's a pretty holy guy. I'm not giving dollars and time and talent for the sake of the poor. I'm doing that so other people will see that I'm, you know, I'm pretty cool because I'm writing checks. I'm giving money. So many of us remember, I know I do, that, you know, what are you giving up for Lent? Well, this is what I'm giving up for Lent. I'm giving up smoking cigars. But we would talk about that. That seemed to be the main thing. Rather than I'm doing something, I'm giving up, I'm fasting, I'm giving up something I really want to do, because then whenever I really want to do that, it reminds me of why I'm doing it and it fosters my relationship with God. So all the reward, I think, that these other folks on the one side, they're doing all this stuff, and he says they already received their reward. What's the reward they receive? They feel good about themselves. And that's all ego-based. What God is encouraging us to do during Lent is what? Not to hide from God. Not to hide. Don't hide. If there's anything that I would challenge you to do this Lenten, is don't hide from God this Lent. Don't hide. Don't hide your brokenness. Don't hide your fear. Don't hide your anger. Don't hide your trauma. Don't hide from God. Because what prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, what they're intended to do is to restore, replenish, and renew in this time the relationship with God. That's the reward. That's the reward. Ultimately, is there anything else? I know you've heard me say this a dozen times. You never see a moving van in a funeral procession, right? What are we going to take with us? When we go standing, we go before the Lord, it's us and God. It's going to be us and God. It's not going to be us and God and your spouse. It's not going to be us and God and your kid. It's not going to be us and God and the money in your bank account. Or us and God and your vacation home. It's going to be you and the Lord and the relationship that you have formed with God. And any desire in your heart that you have to be in relationship with God is already a gift from God to you, calling you to be more. Calling you to be more. That's already a gift. And the fact that you want that is a clear sign that you already have it. That it's already there. But often what do? We try to hide. Because we feel naked. We feel vulnerable. We hid because we knew we were naked. This Lent, don't hide from God. Walk with God in the cool of the night, in the cool of the garden, in the evening. Bring before God that which you are. All of what you are. The good and the bad. We're human. We mess up. But don't hide. May the Lord bless us now and forever, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.